From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences his next message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3 records Israel's passage of the Jordan River. Before the people were the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. According to God's command, as soon as the priests' feet entered the river, the waters of Jordan were cut off so that the people might pass through on dry ground. Very often, the Jordan is used as a picture of death, and in the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will show how this passage illustrates the Christian's encounter with the last enemy. The Ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Since He has already passed through death and conquered it by His resurrection, He is able to bring His people safely through death's cold stream. In approaching the subject of facing death through the living Christ, Dr. Cairns first emphasizes the solemn truth that all of us live within the sight of Jordan. The shadow of death hangs over everything in life. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to address the subject of suffering.
Now, here's a question I'm sure you've heard 100 times. If there is a God, and if God is all-powerful, and if God is a God of love, why is there all this suffering in the world? I heard a Canadian preacher, an apostate, a Bible denier, but this is how he put it. He said, if God is all-powerful, then He has the power to stop all the suffering in the world. But He doesn't. So if God is all-powerful, is He a God of love? Because if He's a God of love, then He would want to stop all the suffering in the world. So either He's a God of all power, or He's a God of love. But according to this preacher, He couldn't be both. The question comes up again and again. If God is a God of love, why is there all this suffering in the world? There are many responses one could make to that. First of all, never forget that God did not create this world as a suffering world. He created this world and made it perfect in its first creation. He created man perfect. He placed him in a perfect environment. He gave him perfect happiness, free from all sickness, sorrow, death, and suffering. It was man's own sin that brought suffering into the world, that brought death into the world. Now, God has a plan that He has begun to put into operation. That plan centers in the person and work of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a plan whereby He is going to deliver, redeem man and this world from the groaning of suffering due to sin. That is, as I say, already underway. Until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, however, there will be suffering and there will be sin. The problem that men should be facing and the question they should be asking is, how can I be delivered from the sin that brought suffering into the world? How can I be saved from my sin that will bring me down to such suffering in a lost eternity as will make all the sufferings of this life seem nothing in comparison? That's the real question men should be asking. And the answer to that question, as I've indicated, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says He suffered. God's answer to the sufferings of men is not simply to ignore it, but it is to send His Son into the world to suffer. He suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He suffered the results of our sin, though he himself had no sin. He suffered the wrath and the curse of a sin-hating God. He took our place, died in our stead, bore the guilt of our sin, paid the penalty for our sin, endured the punishment due to our sin. This is God's answer to sin. And that leads me to say that I tremble when people say, if God is a God of love. Let me remind you of something. After what God did in sending his Son into the world to die upon the center cross at Calvary, he need say nothing and do nothing to prove his love for lost humanity. Calvary is the great proof of the love of God for sinners. Instead of questioning God's love, bow before the cross and embrace God's love gift, salvation in the person and through the merits of his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will find that he is both all-loving and all-powerful.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest, as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Compared with the Amazon or the Mississippi or the Hudson, the Jordan isn't very much of a river. In length, volume, and navigability, it seems insignificant beside the Yangtze, the Rhine, or the Nile. Not much of a river at all. In other ways, however, it surpasses all these great waterways of the world as a political boundary and as a lifeline to the adjacent communities. Jordan stands in the first rank of importance, but it's for its mystical significance that Jordan is most important of all, because the River Jordan has been for many, many, many centuries, for millennia, it has been a symbol of death. Jeremiah asked the question in chapter 12 and verse 5 of his prophecy, "How wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan?" And what he meant was, how will you do in the hour of your death? Jordan, a symbol of death. Perhaps the reason for this significance for the River Jordan is that the swelling of Jordan
took place at the time of harvest. And of course, death is the time when we begin to reap the seed of our lives. Perhaps the significance is that for the children of Israel, Jordan was the last barrier to be crossed before they entered into the land of Canaan. Now, despite the fact that the Jordan was usually a very insignificant river as rivers go, not that at any time it would have been easy to get a nation across it, but it was really not much of a river in natural terms. Despite that fact, it was made almost impossible for the children of Israel because it was in full flood when the children of Israel came to it. Normally, the existence of such a barrier would have given a lot of comfort to the defenders of the city of Jericho as they thought of an army massing on the other side of the river, because it would have needed immense skill, great feats of engineering, to be able to bring not only an army but a nation across that river while it was in spate. However, the people of Jericho felt no such comfort, and they were locked up tight in their walled city because they had heard how the Lord had dried up not only a river but the Red Sea to let his people cross on their journey out of Egypt, and they felt the Jordan posed no problem to him. And in that they were right. After lodging before the river for a time, the children of Israel followed their priests and their Levites as they bore the ark of God toward the waters. And as soon as the feet of the priests who were bearing the ark of the Lord stood in the river, the Lord dammed the waters so that they stood up like a mighty wall on one side, while the river drained off into the Dead Sea on the other side. And when the land was clear before them, having made the riverbed dry, the Lord commanded his people to pass over, which they did straight away. Now, all this is ancient history, but it's more than history. It's spiritual instruction for the people of God. Remember that Jordan is, quite scripturally, the symbol of death. Remember that that Ark of the Covenant is one of the greatest emblems in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do a study about the Ark in any detail this morning, but remember what it was. The Ark typified Christ in his humanity and in his deity, for it was made of shittim wood, that almost incorruptible wood, covered with the gold that throughout the typology of the tabernacle bespeaks deity. It speaks of the deity and the humanity of Christ. In the ark, there were the tables of the law. Remember that the law was given to Moses. And as he came down from the mount, and he heard the sounds of Israel's apostasy, he broke the tables of the law. The law first broken in the hand of man. Then Deuteronomy 10 tells us how the Lord provided two more tables of the law. And these were kept intact in the Ark of the Covenant. What a picture! In the hand of man, the law broken. In Jesus Christ, the law kept perfectly, an emblem of his absolute righteous obedience. And then that ark was covered with the golden mercy seat, sprinkled on the Day of Atonement with the blood of the slain lamb. It is, of course, a picture of Christ's propitiation. Here is one of the most complete types of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. The Ark, Christ, who first fulfilled the law of God for us. Christ, who then propitiated the wrath of God for us. Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh, the only mediator, the only redeemer, and the only Savior. That, in summary form, is the meaning of the emblem of the Ark. Now, keep all that in mind. Jordan, the symbol of death. The Ark, the emblem or the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Now reread the whole story with these things in mind, and you will find that just as the children of Israel passed over Jordan dry shod, because of the presence of the priest bearing the ark, so we pass through death unscathed because our great forerunner and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has preceded us into its chilling waters and dried them up to give us free passage to the other side. In summary, that is the message I want to leave with you from Joshua chapter 3 this morning. I want us to think of a solemn theme, facing death. But I want us to make it a joyful theme, facing death through the living Christ. For that is the message of our Bible reading. First of all, we will notice that we all lodge in the sight of Jordan. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says that the children of Israel removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and Joshua and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. They lodged there in sight of Jordan before they passed over. And that sentence could be written over every one of us this morning. We lodge in sight of the Jordan of death before we pass over. Whatever our age, whatever our occupation, we are today merely lodging. We are not here forever. Not only so, we are not lodging far from the final crossing from this life into the life which is to come. We are daily in sight of the Jordan. Not only daily, but moment by moment, we are in sight of the Jordan. We cannot take a step without it being a step nearer to that final boundary line. We cannot breathe one breath, but it is one less that we will have to breathe. Our heart never pumps once, but it is one less time it is going to pump. There is not a second ticks off the clock, but it is a second less for us to lodge this side of Jordan. We are lodging in the sight of Jordan. And I tell you, that is something that we ought never, whether we are young or old, whether we are healthy or infirm, that is something we ought never to forget. We read in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3 that David said, "As the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." David recognized something. He was forced to recognize it by the particular circumstances in which he found himself. But he recognized something that every man, woman, and child among us would do well to recognize. There is never more than a step between us and death. We are lodging in sight of Jordan. David was just a young man when he said that. The other end of the scale in 2 Samuel 19, we have the question of Barzillai unto the king. How long have I to live? David was seeking to have this friend come back after he had been such a help to the king during Absalom's rebellion, come back with him across the Kidron and lodge with him in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said, how long have I to live? I'm an old man. Time has gone. The river is just before me. I can see it. I can hear its lapping waters. I can almost feel the chill. How long have I to live? A young man says, there's but a step between me and death. An old man says, how long have I to live? The teaching is clear. The shadow of death hangs over everything in this life. All we do in life should be in the light of our impending encounter with death.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.